All right, guys, welcome back. This is Nick.
This is Faye.
And this is
Kreogs
over coffee. All right, so we're super excited for the first time in a while to have back with us Michael Foley. As you guys may remember, I'll just start off with kind of our disclosure bio that we read off for him when he comes. Michael's a comprehensive financial advisor. He runs a practice out of Scottsdale, Arizona under North Star Resource Group. He was trained at Duke University, holds a certified financial planner designation alongside his certified student loan professional designation. He's the son of two doctors, found a specialty in working with those in the healthcare space with their financial and student loan needs. As a preview for today's episode, Michael also runs a YouTube channel now called Lifestyle Creep, designed to give healthcare workers simple strategies to be more intentional with their finances, live more humble and quiet lives. I love it. He's an investment advisor of Cetera Advisor Networks, LLC, security offers through Cetera Advisor Networks, LLC, which is a member of FINRA and SIPC. The advisory services are offered again through Cetera Investment Advisors, LLC, which is a registered investment advisor. Cetera is under separate ownership from any other named entity. And again, you can find Michael at 6720 North Scottsdale Road, Suite 290 in Scottsdale, Arizona, 85253. Okay. But as we said, Michael, we're going to preview kind of some new stuff you've been working on, which is really exciting and probably very relevant to lots of our lives in terms of listeners to the podcast, as well as for Faye and myself right now, which is this idea of lifestyle creep. What are we going to talk about to start?
Yeah, for sure. Well, thank you so much for having me back and excited to be with you guys. And yeah, it's an exciting conversation. You know, I've been doing a lot of research on this lifestyle creep. And so, you know, today's learning objectives, we really wanted to talk about what is lifestyle creep and why are doctors more prone to it, right? And then also want to talk a little bit about what is our mental image of a millionaire and how does that compare to the actual stats of millionaires in the U.S.? And then I want to finish off with talking about three actual ways that you can increase contentment in your finances as proven by research. So so excited to dive into this with you guys.
Yeah, that sounds great, Michael. So let's start off with that first question. And I suspect I know the answers to these questions, but let's go ahead and kind of outline this for our listeners. So what exactly is lifestyle creep and why are we doctors prone to having lifestyle creep?
Sure. I mean, I think that it gets thrown out so often these days, right? You know, and so this lifestyle creep, you know, by definition is really a subtle and persistent increase in your expenses after a market increase in your income, right? And so we talked about in the medical field, we call it the medical squeeze. And so there's this kind of phenomena that a lot of doctors run into where, you know, you get a little bit later start to your career. And so then we feel more of the pressure because you almost feel like you're starting later than all of your peers. And so, and then we've also had so much delayed gratification that one, it can kind of turn into almost like a binge when you get out and then you're like, all right, finally, I'm done surviving. I'm finally making money. And now I want to binge and get all the things that I want, right? But there's, you know, it leads to a lot of people really trying to fill those desires and then also makes people more prone to riskier investments oftentimes too, to try to get that get rich quick scheme, right? Because they're like, I'm so far behind, I need to catch up and try to make a bunch of money right away, right? Which isn't probably the best strategy here. And then we also see on the other end of it, people also taking out debt, you know, to really accelerate lifestyle purchases that also kind of signify that they've made it, right? And there's a lot of that because it's almost like an imposter syndrome too, right? Because you guys are some of the only demographics that everybody around you knows that you're making more money now, right? Your spouse, your friends, your family, everyone in society knows that you're going from a resident to an attending, you're making the big bucks now. And, you know, in even some of this, you know, the Millionaire Next Door, which is a great book by Thomas Stanley, highly recommend you guys checking it out if you haven't to. But he has like a whole chapter in his book on doctors specifically. And I was just reading through this and I thought it was really interesting that he called out, it wasn't designed for doctors, but they called out doctors as a demographic. And just a quote from his book, I thought was really interesting. He said, very well-educated people, speaking about doctors here, very well-educated people tend to lag behind on the wealth scale due to the ascribed status by society. Doctors are expected to play their parts. And I was like, man, that's so true though, you know? And it just kind of really kind of got under my skin a little bit though, because it's like, okay, well, it's ascribed by society though, not by you. It's, you know, you're expected to go buy the nice house. You're expected to go buy the nice car. You're expected to send your kids to the private schools, right? Live in the nice neighborhood, help pay for things for family. Now, like there's all these expectations that are kind of ascribed by society for our doctor clients. And so it's really important that we, you know, kind of carve through that and, you know, and really see, all right, is that because society's telling us that we really need this? Or is this something that we actually do want, right? And so I think the big thing is really trying to get rid of a lot of the emotional decisions and really focus in on more of kind of being intentional in what you want to be doing and how you want to be growing in your finances throughout that time.
Yeah, you know, Michael, I kind of want to ask a little bit more, in this lifestyle creep type of thing, because I feel like there's probably a moment in people's lives, or maybe there's not a moment in people's lives, but like this probably smacks you in the face just all of a sudden one day, right? Like, do you have any stories kind of along those lines?
Yeah, I sure do. I sure do. So I'm just as much of a victim to lifestyle creep as you guys are. So I am not above the game here. I'm very much in this with you. And for me, it was cars, right? You know, I call myself a recovering car guy these days, right? Because it's, you know, everyone knows me. I was a big car guy and always, you know, I almost like found my identity in my car. And, you know, the nicer the car that I was able to get, the better I was feeling that, you know, felt how like I was doing in life. Right. And so, you know, it was, I went through this kind of rapid change in cars over the, you know, last few years that was very emotional. I kind of realized, right. But, you know, I had a Camaro and then I sold it and got a 4Runner. And then I was like, oh, I want something more luxurious. So I got an Audi S4. And then I was like, okay, this is nice, but we're having a family. I can't fit a car seat in the back. And then, all right, I'm making more money now. So, you know, it's time that I get the big ticket car. And so, you know, I went to the dealer and we went to the Land Rover dealership and my wife and I, we went and custom ordered a Land Rover Defender and watched it be built and tracked it. It was shipped all the way out, you know, out here. And I was feeling on top of the world when I took delivery of it and was driving it around. And I was like, I made it, you know, like, this is awesome. You know, I'm driving this sweet car. And then kind of that moment that you're talking about, Nick, was I was in the Chick-fil-A drive-thru in my new Defender, right? And I was feeling all proud of myself. And then, you know, the guy, the attendant who was in the drive-thru checking me out, I was going to place my order and he rolled down my window and he's like, oh, wow, this is a nice car. I really like this Defender. And I was like, oh, thanks. He's like, is this the supercharged V8 version? And I was like, oh no, like this is the level down from that. And he's like, oh. And I was like, oh my gosh, you know, it just hit me like a ton of bricks. So I was like, gosh. Like there's always something more, right? You know, here I'm sitting, feel like I got the car of my dreams. This is it, right? But then, oh, what? I don't have the supercharged version of it, that next level up, right? So it's just kind of this never ending thing. And so, you know, I actually, after that moment, I was like, I want to break out of this lifestyle creep. And so I sold it. I sold the Defender and I was like, I don't think this is a good example that I want to be setting for my clients or for my kids or things like that. And so, you know, I'd much rather be the rich guy pretending to be poor than the poor guy pretending to be rich. Right. And so, you know, it's always, I visualize those movies where you have, you know, someone comes in casual clothes into a building and the security mistakes them as like a courier and says, oh, you can't go in here. Only to find out like that they actually own the whole building. Right. Because they're just walking in humbly. Like, I kind of want to be that guy. Right. Not the one who's pretending to be the owner of the building when they really don't own anything. Right. So, but I think it's just really important to remember that, you know, being humble in your finances doesn't mean being poor, right? That's not the same, right? Being humble is really more of a mindset shift from, you know, trying to impress others to really just finding one of contentment and just really, you know, trying to identify what really means the most to you and where do you elicit the most value and how can we align where you put your money with that?
Yeah, that sounds great, Michael. And I think that's like a great example of kind of realizing that lifestyle creep. I guess, you know, one of the things that, you know, you had talked about as part of our learning objectives is kind of like talking about like what actual millionaires in the U.S. are like. So talk to us about the difference of, I think, you know, we all have in our head what a millionaire acts like or what a millionaire does, but like what are the actual millionaires in the United States doing?
Yeah, so this is a super fascinating research that I think it kind of is eye-opening. Some of these you might expect, some of these might catch you off guard. So, you know, I'll just kind of go through a few of the ones that were most kind of stand out for me. But, you know, I think the first one is from a budgeting standpoint, you know, what percentage of millionaires budget? And at least in my mind, you know, you would think that, all right, well, if you're a millionaire in the US, like you probably aren't budgeting because you have so much money that you don't even have to worry about money, right? But research says 61% of millionaires in the US operate on a well thought out budget. So more than half of the millionaires in the US do have a good budget that they hold to, right? So I thought that was interesting. You know, foreign luxury cars are kind of, you know, in our minds, kind of what we look at for, you know, millionaire status. I fell into that too, right? With the Land Rover, I was like, I want that foreign luxury car, right? That's not actually what millionaires drive. The top three most popular millionaire car brands: Toyota, Honda, and Ford, right? And so I thought it was so key. And so there's a reason why I like driving a Toyota Highlander these days, right? You know, it's more in alignment with that, right? But and then also another interesting thing is over a third own cars that are 5 years or older too. So, you know, you also think that people are getting new cars every few years. That's just kind of the thing that you do. But a lot of millionaires in the U.S. actually don't get new cars very often, and they're being very economical with that. You know, then talking about like designer clothes, no need to look at the price tag anymore mindset, right? That's kind of what we think of. But, you know, actually, you know, half spent less than $50 on jeans, less than $150 on sunglasses, and the median spent less than $200 on any shoes ever. Right. So I just thought that was super interesting just to kind of get an idea that people are thrifty when they're millionaires. And there's a reason why they've accumulated wealth because they haven't spent it all. Right. And then for those of you guys looking at houses too, this is a good one. The majority of millionaires have a mortgage payment between 5% and 20% of their annual income. So thought that was an interesting stat. Our certified financial planner board recommends under 28%. So you just have a little bit of a watermark to kind of show the millionaires are falling a good almost 8% and less than that. So that was a good feedback on that. And then this one was really interesting as, you know, a lot of people, especially with interest rates, some people are just not feeling like they're in a spot to buy a house, but they want to buy a house because they feel like that's what they got to do to build wealth. But one of the stats that they shared was 92% of homeowners in the US are not actually millionaires. 92% of homeowners are not millionaires. So that was just eye-opening to me. So, you know, just trying to think of, you know, that maybe it's okay to rent for a little bit if that's just not the time in your life that it's, you know, time to buy, but that's not going to be a prerequisite to becoming a millionaire. And then the last one is all the rave these days. Everyone wants a rental property, right? And this is where, you know, we want to build that, you know, that empire of real estate that we can have that'll replace our income and get us financially independent. But, you know, in the study of millionaires, only 3.4% of the millionaires actually received half or more of their income from real estate. So it was like, oh, under 4% of all the millionaires in the US really have real estate as a rental real estate as a big portion of their income generated. So just an eye opening for you guys as well.
No, yeah, I think this is eye opening. And I think, you know, in that type of sense, fragmenting or shattering this notion of like what it means to be wealthy or like what you look at and be like, aha, that person has made it, right? And I think as somebody who is navigating this transition now, right, it's hard when you were a trainee and you sort of have like had on a pedestal this idea of like, oh, once my salary quadruples overnight, like, no, life is going to be so much better because I can do X, Y, Z. particularly for those of us, I guess, in that type of moment of transition, what would you suggest would be good ways to, as you say, increase contentment in your finances and keep that humble attitude?
Yeah, of course. You know, and I think there's some good research behind this that I think was kind of drives it into three different categories to, you know, really increase your contentment. So the first is to reduce time on social media. You know, this is something that studies show that it leads to lower self-esteem, increases in social comparison and envy that fuel depressive symptoms, increases fear of missing out, and decreases perceived emotional support. Those aren't a lot of good things, right? And so it's a perfect recipe to, you know, lead you into making buying decisions that are maybe more emotional, right? That's, you know, buying the Stanley Cup, right? When it's, you know, when it's being pushed down your throat, and, you know, that those things happen all the time. These marketers are just preying on your fears and desires, right? And they're trying to elicit that from you. So if we can cut them off where they're getting access to you, which is oftentimes social media, that can help increase your contentment in your finances there. The second one is just setting goals. You know, it was interesting to see just people that set goals, like set financial goals, are nearly 20% more satisfied with their lives, and according to research on that. So just even having goals, right, is a huge increase in your contentment. So you can, you know, be intentional with saving and not just saving to save or different things like that, right? But then the last one is spending wisely. So, you know, I wanted to see, all right, well, if we're spending, you know, this isn't to say that we can't spend money on anything, right? But how can we get the most bang for our buck from our spending? And so they recorded kind of what are some of the least regretted expenditures on a monthly basis. And I give them kind of the acronym GET, G-E-T. So the first G is giving to others or paying for things for other people. So picking up the tab or buying something for someone else, one of the least regretted expenditures on a monthly basis. You're getting a lot of fulfillment from that. The second is E, experiences. So if you're going on a vacation, going to a concert, spending time with family, finding other experiences to do, you're getting a lot more bang for your buck because you're getting a fulfillment when you're booking it and then when you have it, and then also reminiscing. There's a lot of bang for your buck with experiences. So we love that. And then the last one is T for time savers. So spending money on things that can save you time. So maybe having someone help you do something, maybe it's, you know, helping around the house or, you know, helping expedite things. Very low regret when you're getting time savers on that. So those are the most the least regretted expenditures, but the most regretted expenditures were actually pretty funny to me. So one is the most regretted expenditure on a monthly basis is no surprise. It was bank fees. So actually, like, just overdraft fees or things like that. Obviously, that's a very regretted expense. But the next right above that was actually dining out. So like eating out on a weekly basis was almost on par with bank fees from a most regretted expenditure. So it was just funny because in my mind, I almost made that like an experience, you know, thinking of that as experience, but that's not what the study was showing. So I just thought that was really interesting, you know, the feedback on that research.
All right. Well, it sounds like we are getting to the end of this episode then, Michael, and thank you so much again for coming onto our podcast and talking to us about lifestyle creep. But let's say our listeners want to get in touch with you. How would they best find you?
For sure. So feel free to just research me online, just Michael Foley, North Star, or send an email to our team. We'll throw our email in the show notes. It's just foleyteam@northstarfinancial.com. And feel free to, you know, check out the Lifestyle Creep YouTube. So we'll be putting new content on there, constantly doing research on this for my clients to make sure that we're up to date with the best ways to help our clients. And so hopefully you guys find it a valuable channel for you guys as well.
Fantastic. Yeah. And you've put together, it looks like, a really nice list of resources for our listeners too, that we'll just kind of plug and say, check out the show notes on the website, because there's a lot to do there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No. Well, thank you guys so much for having me back.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Michael. So once again, this is Faye.
This is Nick.
And this has been Creogs Over Coffee.
So guys, if you enjoyed the podcast today, head over to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, whatever your podcatcher is, give us a 5-star rating and review.
You can find us on social media, on Facebook and Instagram at Careers Over Coffee, on X at Careers Over Coffee 1. And if you want to support the show, go ahead and go into our Patreon at www.patreon.com/careersovercoffee.
There are show notes for this podcast, as well as all of our prior podcasts, on our website at www.careersovercoffee.com.
And if you have suggestions for a show, you have recommendations for us, or you caught a mistake, or just want to reach out, email us, careersovercoffee@gmail.com.